HR?
Yes.
Is this Arinda?
Yes. California?
Yes. It's not Arinda.
One of these days, I really have to give you the recording to splice in here so people will know why we keep calling it Arinda.
We've been talking about
and,
that.
Mark. And of course, you have to do it. You have to splice the tape in. I want you to use real tape, and I want you to use a splicing head and a razor blade.
Cutting block
and a razor blade. And
editing tape.
Right. I have all that.
Do you have
that?
So once again, welcome everybody. This is Wes and Mark, and we are what's the name of the show? You don't know,
what's
do you?
The Mark Show?
No, it's not.
I don't know.
It's not, you don't know, do you?
Oh,
you
forgot. Some old stuff is new again, or something like that. Everything old is new again, right? Because that's a song, but it's something
that.
Like that.
Yeah, it's what's new is old.
But the song is everything old is new again, which we need to splice in.
What's
also.
New is old.
Yeah, we just place the song in also.
But who does the song? Do you know?
I don't know. Okay, so it's a Broadway show. I don't know.
I can Google it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Dude, you can Google it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you could.
So I got a couple of things that I wanted to bring to light that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to talk to you about them personally, but what the heck, I can talk about them now as well.
Okay.
So now that Macworld is done and CES is over and things are kind of calming down and people are kind of getting back to work and doing things, the market's been going nuts.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily they're not dependent on each other, but what's your thought, like, on why the market's going so crazy?
I don't know, but I talked to someone over the weekend who said that claims that these things are cycles, and at some parts of the cycles, stocks are good. Other parts of the cycles, commodities like metals and just other, you know, real things are good. And he claims we're just in the phase right now that commodities are getting better.
Huh.
And that's certainly true lately because gold has gone way up, which going, all the people in the stocks kept poo-pooing gold, but it turned out gold was the thing to get into a couple of years ago because that's gone way up in the meantime.
Okay.
Like 2 to 4 times or something.
I've got some gold in my poop portfolio. I have some gold, but I don't pay attention to it, so I really don't
know. Yeah, it's gone up like 4 times since you paid attention to it.
Really?
Yes.
I look at the total overall net value of the account.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not a huge amount, but
yeah,
it hasn't really like gone up. She put me into she spread out my portfolio into I think water, gold.
What's water?
She thought water was going to be a huge deal.
What's water? Like, how do you buy?
I don't know. I guess they're like stocks that have to do with water purification and water systems for taking water.
I don't know if that's important or not.
Okay. It didn't do as much as I thought it was going to do. I thought it was all great. She's like, yeah, we're going to get you into gold and some water and some biomedical stuff. And
you have to watch those stockbrokers. I don't know anything about yours, but in general, stockbrokers get you into things that pay them the highest commission.
Right.
And so even for gold, she may have put you into something in gold that gave her a higher commission where you would have got more money if you just owned gold. For some other type of stuff.
Well, many years ago, you and I were talking about, we were looking at past performance, and you and I were looking at the market indexes.
Right.
And you were saying, and you said something that stuck with me. You said if you had just simply invested in an index fund or something that followed the NASDAQ, you would have done better.
It generally works better than, especially if a professional stockbroker working on commission chooses things.
Yeah.
The index fund would probably work better because you don't have all the commissions.
And you don't need to go through brokers. You can invest directly.
You can invest directly with anything. You know, with online brokerages nowadays, you can get very low transaction fees and buy anything you want anyway.
E-Trade, Fidelity.
Yeah,
and there's something.
But brokers that are commissioned, they'll give you much lower quality. Like, even if you wanted to buy some particular mutual fund, the broker will talk you into something that's about the same as that mutual fund, but where they get a big commission.
Okay.
Whereas you bought the fund or a different fund that's in the same type of market, but you could buy directly, the commission might be 1% or something. So that's like, going with regular brokers, unless you really know them and trust them, is probably a bad idea.
Yeah, I have a relationship with this broker, and she seems to be pretty good.
Yeah. But if she got you into gold, that was good. The water, I don't like it enough.
Yeah. Wants you to do very, very well.
But if she got you into some gold that's not actual gold, but just some stock having to do with gold, I wouldn't know about that.
Okay.
This gold itself, it's gone up. I don't know about those things. I know someone we know, we won't mention, got subscribed to this really high price, like about $1,000 a year newsletter.
Okay.
That he claimed was really famous and really well known, and I looked around the internet, I really couldn't find it being famous whatsoever.
Okay.
But it was about, day trading type of stuff, you know, penny stocks and all that.
Uh-huh.
And it the way the guy advertised, I just saw loopholes all over the place, because he claimed that last year and the year before and the year before he was always, you know, doing these investments that would go up to a high percentage.
Yeah.
But then if you looked in detail what he actually said, and then look at his newsletter, and when once the newsletter started coming in, look at the newsletter, what it actually says to do.
Yeah.
It was kind of fake, because the guy kind of advertises as though his newsletter tells you exactly what and when to buy and exactly what and when to sell.
Okay.
But it really doesn't. He just gives general guidelines saying, I think this thing is going to be hot, and look for these certain indicators, and then kind of buy it.
Okay.
But it's very ambiguous, and you really can't lock in an exact date from that.
Okay.
And then he says to sell it, but he gives the same kind of very vague instructions about when to sell it. So, but then at the end of the year, he claims his newspaper made people 50% or something, because he looks backwards within the range, within the ambiguous range of days that he said to buy and to sell. He picks the very best one at the buy, the very best one to sell, and then shows it went up 50%. But his newsletter didn't give you any instructions that would actually lead you to buying exactly those points.
Okay.
You know, as an example. And I like Bob Brinker, BobBrinker.com. He has a radio show and a newsletter and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good for stocks, stock timing.
Okay.
But he also, at least in the past, has done overall things. He would tell you some years get out of stocks, and he would predict interest rates of CDs and government bonds, and he would predict what week was best to buy them. He was, and he was very good at choosing what weeks you'd get the best interest in investments like that. So he's not limited to stocks only. He tries to do diversified kind of things.
Okay.
But several years ago, people called the radio show and asked him about gold and said, nah, don't buy gold. That's stupid. It's not going anywhere.
Ooh.
And yet gold went up maybe four times since then. Stock market. He's been very good. He's been very good at timing for stocks in the meantime, but gold is much better.
Okay.
That he told people not to buy. So I don't know. Do you really trust anybody?
Yeah, well, this guy on the YouTube videos, which I probably should, if I can, I'll link to it. He's very animated. He's very cool. I think he tries to be like Jim Cramer going nuts.
Okay.
But he's actually kind of funny and entertaining just to watch, even if you don't care about stocks.
Right.
Every time he starts recording, he's like, lately, he's just always starting, initially he starts out his show very pissed off about the day's performance.
Okay.
And one day he comes on, he's angry, and then the next day he comes on, he's even more angry.
That means he's not very good at predicting, but that means that he personally is losing money on those days probably, or his theory is wrong for those days. So why would you trust him? It doesn't sound like a very good person.
Well, his goal is apparently he's been a successful day trader. He's been able to quit his job and just do day trading. And I think he's still very wealthy. He apparently got out of the market at the peak of the dot-com boom and was able to maintain some savings. And then he said, before it bottomed out, he invested, like he just jumped right back in too soon and then lost a lot of money.
Yeah, Bob Brinker was pretty good at timing that. He was pretty good at timing when to sell before the bust. And then when the buyback in, he was to say pretty accurate.
This guy failed know when the bottom was really the bottom.
Right. So Brinker called the bottom perfectly the other day.
Did he?
But then his advice after that maybe hadn't been best. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I got his news article. I think if you go to the website, you can have him send you a news article or news.
Okay.
What is it? The news clipping, the newspaper that he has.
Okay.
News.
Okay. Does he charge?
No, he gives it to you for free one time and one time only. And you have to give, I think, personal information or something.
Okay. Well, that's right. Yeah, we haven't done this for a while because we haven't talked about the MacBook Air or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so MacBook Air, it turns out it's not quite as bad as I thought, but one of the problems with the MacBook Air is that the batteries are not replaceable.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to send in an Apple to change your battery even for that. But people have figured out how to change it yourself. It's actually pretty easy. You don't need any heat. You don't need to break glue.
Right.
It's just all done with screws.
Well, the other thing is it's a slower processor. There's no FireWire. There's one USB slot.
No CD. No built-in CD or DVD. Yeah, and Sony has notebooks for similar price, so the same weight, even lighter, that do have a CD drive and do have normal replaceable batteries and all that.
Probably a more powerful processor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people have said that this is just Apple's way of getting first to market a thin, very, very thin laptop.
But I don't care about thin that much. I care about weight. That thing is like 3 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a lot heavier than it looks like it would be. And you can buy Sony's, let's say, for 3 pounds easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if it comes down in price, I mean, that's the thing that's going to get people to buy it. It's like if it's a machine that's easy to slip in a backpack or something like that,
right,
and it's just more convenient and it's cheap enough, people will buy it. But right now, mm-hmm, I don't think it's going to make that big of a deal.
Yeah, and yes, people have published how to change the battery yourself, but that's still how to change it yourself a year from now when it runs down,
right,
not how to change it today if you want to use it for 8 hours or something. It's still too complicated to try to do that yourself.
Which is
out of the field.
Yeah, so other people have said that as well. It's like, you know, if I'm on a flight, and who cares about 5 hours? What if I'm on a flight that's longer than that and it runs down?
I mean, right.
Well, some people say
you can get over your computer addiction and read a book.
What?
Yeah, you're right. I know I couldn't do it either.
What are you talking about?
I know. No, you read the catalog of all the things you want to buy, and then when you get to the other end, you then look up how you get those things cheaper and you buy them.
Right. The SkyMall.
Yeah. I like looking at the SkyMall catalog, but I wouldn't actually buy them on the plane. I would just try to find the same item cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah. So for those who listen to this podcast, this song right now is the same song that played in two of our other previous podcasts.
Because they only have one CD that they play over and over again.
Yeah.
I've seen restaurants that do that.
That's fantastic. We'll all be able to whistle and hum the same song over and over again, even though we have no idea where it came from.
We should really buy them a changer. You know, CD changers are $50 now or something.
Yeah,
really buy them a CD changer and 5 CDs or 100 CDs. Or
maybe we should get the audience of two to supply funds for us to buy CDs for the places we visit.
Right. No, yeah, but if they had a changer, then at least they could. Because you can buy a 100 CD changer nowadays for nothing. They can just play everything sequentially if they want.
So what are your thoughts on this HD, DVD, Blu-ray?
Nice to see that somehow it might end. I always thought the battle was really stupid for both sides.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy one. I wouldn't buy either one until there's a standard.
Well,
it sounds like it's getting closer, maybe.
You know what? What drives me is not what everybody else says, which is when you go to the store, there's less selections of HD DVDs and more Blu-ray. What drives me is, can I buy one for my 360?
Yeah.
So the rumor is that at some point, Microsoft is going to produce a Blu-ray drive, external, just like they do when you have to make a choice. You have to go buy an external drive for the 360 to support HD DVD, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was built in.
Okay.
But it's not. The drive that's built in only does like MPEG movies, DivX.
Okay.
It supports. They've gotten kudos for being able to support and almost flawlessly all the different codecs for popular codecs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's still only regular DVD as far as the capacity of it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I always thought they had Blu-ray. Some of them had Blu-ray or HD DVD built in.
I thought it was too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Microsoft was like on the HD DVD jock.
Right, they were. Yeah, they are on that side, yeah. But at some point, if that dies, they'll have to give in and do the other one.
It won't be that difficult.
Right.
So when I discovered that, when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's cool. At least I don't have to, like, buy an HD DVD drive only for it to become, a bookend. So do we talk about your new toy?
Sure. We've told the audience what "look at that" means, haven't we?
No,
we've never mentioned "look at that."
Okay, I'll give you.
Yeah, give us a description.
All right. Yes. So, a friend of mine used to, when I was growing up, in my circle of friends, we'd all kind of hang out together, and this one particular friend of mine would always have very strange things on his person, like in his pockets or whatever. And he was always like, hey, guys, look at this. And he's always pulling stuff out of his pocket that was absolutely crazy and didn't belong there. Like, where did you find it? Like a shell from a clam or a bicycle part? Or like photographs that were really old of somebody else's parents that weren't his. I mean, stuff that didn't belong there. And this one friend of mine and I decided to like take kind of turn this into a game. And every once in a while,
out of the blue, for no reason at all, we would like run across the street to some very weird place looking for the strangest thing that didn't belong, only to pull it out of wherever it was and run back across the street to the group of people and say, guys, look at that!
Right.
And the weirder you found things, the stranger the things were that you found, the more you won at this game. And so, once you came back with something strange and you said to the guys, look at that! They'd all get frustrated and then they'd all split off and run and try to find something strange and come back. So this would go on in about maybe three times before everybody would just end up dying laughing at the strange things that were found. And we'd literally hop over fences into people's backyards and just do very crazy things. And anyway, right. So Mark got involved in this game as well.
So one day you'd come back with handcuffs and say, hey, look at that. And your friendly policeman standing next to you, look at him, look at that. Did that ever happen? Or?
No, fortunately not. But the game would get crazy, and it could have led to that level of look at that-ness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, we would be standing in the sidewalk, and then suddenly just run across the street and jump over somebody's fence and come back with a horseshoe.
Hey, look at that!
Right. But it also, one of the things that was funny about this game was the amount of effort that you put into finding something. Mm,
sure.
So as everybody's standing around watching you jump over fences, like, the more you struggle to find things, the funnier it was.
Right.
And you, Mark, actually played this game, and you played absolutely well.
Yeah.
One time, we're driving down the road, right. And my friend Sam and I are in the car, and we started doing the look at that in the back seat. Hey, guys, look at that.
Right.
And then you pulled the car over to the side of the road, mm-hmm. got out of the car, got down on your back, got underneath the car,
right.
started digging around, came out from underneath the car with this balled up, yucky, oily, like, ball of something,
right.
looked us in the eyes, and unrolled this thing of, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it was like crispy and crackly and oily and dirty, and your fingers are getting all dark, and you pulled it out, and you pulled out a key.
It was a spare key for my car. You know? I had to hide it away, didn't I?
But it was in this, like, wrapping paper that was oily and dirty and disgusting.
It protected the key, didn't it?
So you won that night.
Right.
But...
so we still do that sometimes. I'll send him in more by email than anything else, but I'll send them an email to look at that about some really bizarre website or something.
Mm-hmm. Or some strange item or picture. Look at that.
Yeah. So when I met him in his office today, I showed him this new cell phone I had, and I said, this is a look at that, but I can't tell you yet why. And I said, and so we got outside. He says, now that we're outside, can you tell me now? No. I said, we have to either turn left or turn right, and I can show you, but I can't show you here.
Right. So I'm thinking GPS.
Right.
Which is kind of old technology anyway.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so we go into a BART station. If everyone knows what a BART station is, that's the rapid transit system around the San Francisco Bay Area.
Bay Area Rapid Transit, unlike France, where it would be FART.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway. And then we go to the fare gate.
Yes.
And I set my phone down on the gate, and the gate opened. And I showed him I had nothing else in my hands, that was the phone with it.
Yeah.
So that was my look at them. So it's in the paper a lot. If you're in the Bay Area, you've probably seen it in the paper. Or if you go to the BART website and look at the BART news, they're talking about it. So I'm one of the people taking part in this this trial of a pay-by-phone system where you can pay for BART and pay for Jack in the Box using a smart chip on the phone. There's a software on the phone that downloads the encrypted information to know how much money you have and to recharge the card.
Your
phone, stuff like that.
What do they call the credits when you go to Jack in the Box?
Jack Cash. But it's not only the phone. No, but it's not only the phone. It's really called that. The Jack in the Box has readers that are called Jack Cash readers.
Jack Cash.
And they have readers and they have cards that produce Jack Cash and stuff. So the phone just does.
So you ask your best friend, hey, can I borrow some of your Jack Cash?
Yeah, and they might not understand that.
What are you talking about?
I know.
That's funny. Jack Cash.
I can rename it.
Cash into Jack. That's the next place. That's where you have, like, CNC check cashing. You start a company called Jack Cash.
Okay.
It's science of Jack Cash.
That means you wait for people coming out of the store and you jack them of the money that they have.
Well, you wouldn't need a store for that. In fact, you wouldn't want to have a sign.
But yeah, that's...
No, but you... You know, we'll pay for your Jack Cash.
Yeah.
We'll give you Jack Cash.
I know.
You give us a check. It's post-dated.
Right. Okay. No, but see, it's like swipe ATMs, The other thing that really bothers me is machines where you're supposed to swipe your card, but they don't really say that. They just call them swipe ATM or swipe this or swipe that. And
right.
I always want to swipe it. You know?
Yeah.
Except ATMs are kind of solidly built in where it might be kind of hard to swipe it, but I always want to do it.
I don't want my credit card to be easily used.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be fairly difficult to use it.
Right. Well, the BART special phone, I mean, there is a way. I don't know what they're saying publicly, so I don't know how much I can say, but there is a way to protect it if you really want to.
All
right. You can protect things. But...
So you're under NDA. Mark is under NDA.
Right. But it only said that I couldn't blog about it. I didn't say anything about podcasting about it, so I don't know. But there's so much information about it publicly that I don't have that much more to say, really.
And you're not giving out public, you know.
And it does work, and I don't think they care what I tell you it works.
No, it actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It looks fairly interesting. I like, can I speak about the speakers?
Sure.
Yeah? So it's got where the hinges should go on the clamshell part of the cell. There are what look like beads that are made, that are colored somewhat like they might glow in the dark. They're kind of a light green.
Yeah.
Only if you look around the outer edges of those that light green circular hinge, you can see that on the outside there's a speaker. Like there's underneath that green.
Yeah. Well, the phone itself is actually a perfectly ordinary Samsung phone. I forgot what model. And it has multimedia capabilities.
So that,
and
I've never seen that model before.
Yeah. But it's something, I believe Sprint has this normally.
Okay.
And it has multimedia buttons on the front so you can start and stop songs and switch songs without having to open the clamshell.
Okay.
But for this trial, they just happen to choose that phone as a convenient one they can modify for this trial.
Okay, so that's there's nothing special about that even though I haven't seen it.
No, I don't think so. Either. That's why I'm guessing that they are, in fact, music speakers because it's supposed to be a music phone. But to me, what's interesting is that I've been using Sidekick and Pocket PC phones for so many years. I haven't actually played in detail with any ordinary cell phone for years. This is the first one I've played with, so it's kind of interesting going through all its menus and seeing all what the level of regular cell phones is nowadays.
Yeah. It's still less than what you have in your pocket.
Oh, much less, because the web browser is really stupid.
Yeah.
I told you about Albernay and the Gimme That. Have we talked to
any? No, we haven't talked about Albernay.
Well, we haven't talked about Albernay.
We should have an Albernay section of the show.
I know. Okay, so one day, Albernay has a pet peeve of busboys or waiters taking away his food prematurely, or sometimes he wants a plate. Like, if you go to a hometown buffet or some all-you-can-eat place, he likes to keep his last empty plate just as to put bones on and to put garbage on.
Right.
So if he gets up, he always orders me to watch out for the busboy and order them to leave this particular plate alone. Right. So he's always fighting with them to not touch his plates, not take things away. So we were at dinner once up here at Fenton's. That's the place in Oakland?
In Piedmont?
Yeah, in Piedmont, the Fenton's, yeah. Okay. With Troy and the ex-murderer. You remember the ex-murderer?
I do remember the ex-murderer.
Friend, Troy's friend who looks like an ex-murderer. He's not actually one, I don't think.
I don't think. But even if
Troy's told me some stuff about him. He's not really an ex-murderer, but he does do something. But anyway.
So, I believe it. I've met him before.
Yeah.
He does not seem like he's, when people are quiet, and they don't talk at all, and they dress like they're thuggish.
Right.
He's this big guy. He's just very, very,
But he has a job. He has a normal job. He's actually not that bad, but he just has this one thing Troy told me about. I won't mention it.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
He likes to kill chickens.
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we're in Fenton's, and the ex-murderer and Troy and the ex-murderer order these really huge multi scoops of ice cream, giant sundae things that take all day to finish, or maybe you just don't finish.
Okay.
So I'm sitting next to the ex-murderer, now sitting next to Troy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ex-murderer gets up to go to the bathroom, leaving half his ice cream just because he wasn't finished yet.
Okay.
So the busboy comes over and takes it. It takes that half-eaten thing away. Well, this is Albert's pet peeve, even though it wasn't his dish.
Yeah.
He jumps up and he claims he can't move. He claims he'll have a heart attack if he ever moves and walks fast whatsoever.
Right.
But anyway, he jumps up and runs really fast across the room.
Okay.
And confronts the busboy and says, "Give me that!" and he grabs the plate back and takes it back to the expert room.
He would do that.
He did do that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then the busboy explained himself that because he didn't see anyone sitting at that table, he thought it was my dish and I had shoved it aside.
Okay.
That's why he thought it was okay to take it. But anyway.
Hmm.
Anyway, so I'm not sure why I told all this. You said something that kind of reminded me of. Give me that.
Al is, he's awesome. He's just, he is the opposite of what we are with technology.
Right. Well, yeah, he won't buy anything new. He just has his old computers, and he never throws them away. As the computer becomes obsolete and he buys a new one,
yeah,
he shoves the old one off to the side but continues to run things on it. But whatever he was running on it at the time he retired it, he continues running those programs on it,
yeah,
and then he installs new programs on the new machine.
Okay.
So he kind of knows, you say, you mentioned any particular application, he'll know which computer to go to, but that's
that's awesome.
From DOS only ones up to Windows 98 and Windows XP. He still runs a Watson. Did we talk about that?
No. We never talked about Watson.
Yeah, he still runs a Watson. And
okay.
He's the world's champion in programming Watsons. He's made his Watson do all kinds of bizarre things
that
you never would have imagined using their stupid program.
He can control external devices and stuff with his Watson.
Yeah, I mean, but the Watson has this totally bizarre programming language you're supposed to use.
Yeah.
And he has just done amazing things with that weird language. Because I used to run one, but just pretty normal software.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You use the built-in stuff. Although that was very fun, the Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is one of the first voicemail cards that it would run a whole voicemail system on your PC that would, you could program in different ways.
That was the reason why we met.
Yeah, through the Watson. Yeah.
Although at the time I didn't know it.
Right. And Troy too. Yeah, Troy got involved. We got involved with Troy because of Watson's and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I sold him one of the Big Mouth cards.
Okay.
And he was gonna. He did that. He used it to build his voicemail adventure, his role playing mm-hmm. game.
He built a role playing game recently. He was building one. His hard drive went bad. He lost all his data.
Oh, jeez.
But he was building some very complicated one. And,
he didn't use Time Machine.
No, and he. And he was doing it all in Sandra or something. There's some software program that I think dealt with Big Mouth cards called Sandra or something like that. I forget. Some name like that. He wrote it all in that. And that's also a very limited system because it has no programming capabilities at all except to link you from one box to another. So he was writing this whole big game by just linking from one voicemail box to another as you touch tone different points of the game.
That's
a totally crazy way.
The default software could do that. You could build very complicated. There were logic boxes. You could you built boxes and could record greeting messages per box and then draw like a line, a dependency line or a relationship line from one box to another and say that if somebody hits 3 in this box, they're going to go through the relationship to this other box.
Oh, okay.
But you could build complicated systems that way.
Yeah. But I forget what hardware it really is, but this is the standard software apparently people were using.
Well, so it might not have been Big Mouth.
I don't remember what else he ever bought, so it might have been an alternative software for that.
I've recently done research on whether or not you can still buy them, and they're still selling. They're still selling the original Big Mouth.
New,
brand new. Wow. You can still buy them.
Okay. But not Watson's problem, yeah.
No, I don't know anything about.
Yeah. But they're ISA cards, right? Where would you get a computer to run them?
If the hardware hasn't changed, then it's ISA, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have an X10 equipment all over my house.
Yeah.
And it's just very unreliable. It's really, really kind of bad and horrible and stuff. And there's two competitions to it now that are far better but much more expensive.
What, you have to explain what the X10 technology, I always say technology. What's the X10 system?
Well, if you just go to X10.com and ignore all the security camera stuff, just look for the more traditional power line modules and stuff. But it's a remote control system that sends all the signals through your power line. So you can install just their special outlets and install their special light switches on the wall without having to run any other wires, because the central controllers send commands to those just through the regular AC power line.
Cool.
And then they have So they have switches, modules, they have various remote control, handheld remote control that are wireless into some controller and then turns into a power line signal. Then they have computerized interfaces, you know, computer software can turn things on and off and all that. But it's just very unreliable. I mean, they just don't go through the power line very well, and some houses they work better than others, but they're just kind of bad.
Okay,
I bought someone a bunch of X10 equipment for Christmas, and he was just living in an apartment, thinking that they're probably a lot better nowadays than his was a small enough place. But it wasn't. He just had a lot of problems, even a brand new latest generation of them in a small apartment. He had a lot of reliability problems. So anyway, so at CES I saw two different competing standards. I don't remember the names at all. But they're much more reliable and they have a lot more capabilities about what they can control. Because they can control regular infrared remote controls as well as all the lights and things like that. But they're much more expensive per module.
Okay.
But if I were going to start over again, I'd pay that extra money because I think they would work.
You have the software running that automatically turns on and turns off of the lights in your house.
Right.
Thank you.
They have a couple of different PC interfaces. One of them has timers. Is capable of doing timers built in, so the PC you need the PC to program it.
They have
older devices that just have, you know, like they look like a digital clock, and you push buttons on it and you build the timer strictly in that device. Yeah, you used that kind of thing years ago, but now they say the PC interface will you build all the timers on the PC, and the PC will run them. If the PC is turned on and their software is running, the PC will send signals to invoke those timers.
Okay.
But you can also download the timers as long as they're not too complicated. Because the PC side, you can program more complicated device control and stuff. But anyway, so you can program basic timers on the PC, upload them into the device's memory, and then you can turn the software off on the PC and the device will still run the timers.
I'd like to do that with my heater. I have central heating.
You can.
I'd love to be able to control that with some kind of an X10 device. That would be fun.
Although, for that, just get a fancier thermostat that has timers built into the thermostat. You know. That's fairly trivial.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah, those are very cheap.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, you were selling me the Big Mouth watch, remember?
Yes, I was.
Remember our ad campaign? What was it? My secretary was swallowed by a fish. And, but I didn't care because I had my Big Mouth voicemail system or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that how you feel about women? That women can be replaced just by the...
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mark.
The
complaints that came through from that and the other one, the hooker.
Right. But it worked for me.
Those were numerous.
The fish ad worked for me when I first used it. I'm the developer of the fish ad concept, and it did work for me.
Well, the whole thing worked, and it worked too well because I couldn't handle the calls that were coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
My phone on my windowsill.
What are you getting that much?
I was getting calls. People were calling the number to go through the voicemail demo, and I had a couple of people, like 3 people, purchase just based on calling the voicemail demo. Because one of the selling points of this thing was, look, I'm running it on this very old 8088 with turbo.
Right.
Turbo.
Okay.
It was an old XT box that had a turbo mode, and I said, it's running really, really slow. This is not the top-notch machine. This is a very slow machine, but look at what you can do. And people would call back, and they would leave messages, or they would talk, and they would say, wow, the quality of recording is really good for this. And I had a couple of people who were impressed that they could do the DTMFs, they could do the touch tone sounds, and that's exactly what they wanted. And they didn't care that it was only one line.
Right.
They just said, it sounds really good, and I'd like to use this to represent my company, and I'll buy one now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That was cool. The fan on that thing kept me awake, though,
because
I ran in my bedroom.
Okay. Wear earplugs.
What?
Secret to all life is wear earplugs.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Which is iPod headphones?
No, you can buy earplugs that are similar, but let the earplugs in.
Yeah. I hate sticking things in my ear.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I hate shoving things in.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay, are we done? Is this it?
I don't know.
How long is...
Was this long enough?
Yeah. Should we sack this show?
Sure. Do we have to finish the ice cream first, or can
no.
we?
No,
we don't.
No, let's give ourselves some
okay.
some time with the ice cream.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for doing the show. Do you know how, if there's two listeners or any more than two, do you see any activity?
I sent you a copy of all the logs, but I was busy and didn't actually look at them.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know.
And I think I looked at them and didn't understand them, and so I have to go back and look at them again.
I saw an occasional hit, someone downloading the show. I did see someone just glancing through them.
I used some software to submit the podcast to different aggregator feeds or what do you call them? Search engines.
Right.
Specifically designed for podcasting. I have to set up the blog or some kind of a way for people to participate and get mad at us if we say something
wrong. Sure.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye.